Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
I suppose we could call the contents of the verses that we are looking at right now in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 14 and 15, the most essential ingredients for a successful ministry. That's one possible title, and that ought to be of interest to many people because today everybody's interested in success. It's obvious that not everybody measures success the same way. And therein lies the rub. What is success when it comes to a ministry? Well, we better find out what that is, and so that's why this passage is particularly important. Greetings and welcome to this Tuesday edition of the Beacon Broadcast, Tuesday, January 4. And many, many thanks to those radio listeners who help us with the enormous financial cost of maintaining this Bible teaching ministry on this and other stations. Well, looking at verse 14, Paul said to Timothy, telling him what to say to the other preachers under his charge in the city of Ephesus, in the church at Ephesus. He says, "Remind them of these things, charging them before the Lord not to strive about words to no profit, to the ruin of the hearers." So, first of all, he tells ministers what they must not do, and what they must not do is forget the basics. Remind them of these things, looking backward to the items that Paul has already covered, and that has to do with some basic foundational truths and concepts for the ministry, such as being willing to sacrifice in order to be a good servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the one we left the air with yesterday. Sacrifice is another word that is defined different ways, and some will sacrifice in one way, and some will sacrifice in another. Some will sacrifice financially, some will sacrifice in other areas, but every minister will be called upon to sacrifice, and every minister must be willing to sacrifice, and if he's not, he just frankly can't be a good minister of Jesus Christ. Sorry. If you're looking for a nice, comfortable position, please don't go into the ministry. I don't know where you should go with those kinds of requirements, those kinds of desires. I'm not sure what to tell you, but one thing for sure I will tell you, please don't go into the ministry, because if you go into the ministry with those desires in mind, you are not going to be a good minister. I'm not saying you won't be a minister. I'm not saying you can't become a minister, because we see examples of ministers like that who obviously are more interested in a nice, quiet, comfortable position more than anything else. But I say this, if that's your goal, you can't be a good minister. Good ministers must be willing to sacrifice. But secondly, they must not allow themselves to become sidetracked. The last part of verse 14. Charging them before the Lord not to strive about words to no profit, to the ruin of the hearers. Don't strive about words to no profit. What does that mean? Well, that can cover several things. Paul is telling Timothy to tell the other pastors that they should not be always looking for those things which are novel, which are unusual, because that's not profitable. I know that there's an American penchant for things that are new. In fact, there seems to be something of an American mindset that says whatever is new is good, whatever is old is bad. But I want to tell you that that mindset is more Adamic than spiritual. Do you hear me? Of course, there's some people that have just the opposite mindset, and Satan is clever. He can distort either one and use it to his advantage. So there's some people who view things Christian only in terms of traditional, and what they usually mean in that mindset is those things which are externally traditional. External traditional forms of worship, certain kinds of liturgy, certain styles of building and architecture, certain vestments and clothes upon the clergy, certain items on the liturgy. I think I already mentioned liturgy. I well remember a number of years ago now, we had a man and his wife who visited our church several times, and they were looking for a church similar to ours, but not exactly like ours. And one of the things that they just couldn't seem to get over was that at that time I did not conclude our service with a benediction. That wasn't my practice at that time. Actually, right now it is. I generally do conclude a service with a benediction. But I don't know that the Bible gives us a requirement to conclude the service with a benediction, a formal benediction, a formal statement of blessing to the congregation. But the church they had come from had done that. Now, the church they had come from was no longer acceptable because of decline in a number of areas, and that decline was primarily departure from doctrine, from historic doctrine. So here you had really two streams of tradition that were running side by side. There was a commendable faithfulness to traditional doctrine. They recognized that the traditional confession of faith of their previous church was true to the Bible and ought to be maintained. And because of modernistic trends in the church where they had been, it was no longer being maintained. The historic confession of faith was no longer valued, was no longer believed, was no longer taught, was no longer providing guidelines and blueprints for the teaching ministry and practical outworking of that church. There was a departure from historic and traditional doctrine, and that was bad. But unfortunately, this couple couldn't seem to separate things traditional that are truly biblical and things traditional that are merely incidental. So they continued on and they found another church, and I hope that they are in a good situation. I won't comment on that, but Satan loves to get us either in a traditional rut and where we're defending traditional things that are not really biblical, where we can become very much like the Pharisees in Christ's day, who have a whole list of things traditional that happen to be the tradition of the fathers that in some cases themselves are competing with the Word of God. And that's not good. But then there's the other mindset that takes the attitude that anything that's new has got to be better than anything that's old. We don't want tradition, we want innovation. And so every new idea, every new fad that comes down the road in the realm of Christianity is eagerly embraced, and away we go. We are always looking for that which is new, which is novel. And because there are a lot of people who think that way, that seems to be sort of an American mindset, more than, say, a European mindset, where in Europe and in other parts of the country, many of the countries that we call third world countries, or sometimes they're called majority world countries, a newer term that's supposed to be a little less demeaning, I suppose, than third world. But most of the rest of the world values tradition more than America does. There's something about America's heritage and youthfulness and breaking of the ties of the tradition of our European forefathers and so forth that seems to have led us to value anything new and innovative as being superior to anything that is old. And I wonder if sometimes, too, there isn't an evolutionary strain in this kind of thinking. Since we have had such a strong emphasis upon evolution, think about it. Evolution means that things are constantly changing. And if evolution were true, then whatever is newest is best, because the newest thing should be the next development, moving up the ladder of evolution, you understand? So maybe a little bit of that philosophy figures in to this idea that new is good, old is bad, or new is better than the traditional. Well, whatever it is, that can be a real problem too. Now again, you know, the opposite of that is sometimes clinging to traditions that have no biblical merit. You say, give me an example. Well, I'll give you one. Take the issue of how we dress. Let's just narrow that down to one particular area. How we dress for church. Americans for many years seem to follow the concept that we ought to dress up for church. You can even read descriptions of people in their, quote, Sunday best, end quote. People had the idea that you put on your best clothes for Sunday. The concept being that we're going to worship God. We honor Him by doing this. We would wear our best clothes for a wedding. We would wear our best clothes for a funeral, whether it's in a church or not, in most cases. At least that's the way it used to be. We would wear our best clothes for the visit of a very important person, a very important political figure. If the president was coming to our town to address us, we would probably dress up to meet the president. At least that was the mindset of a previous generation. A lot of that has changed, as you know. So the idea was we dress up to go to church, because who is a more important personage than God? Who do we show more honor and reverence to than God? But somehow this idea of dressing up for church seemed to become associated with stuffiness and maybe pride and building barriers against people who don't have fine clothes. And so now the whole emphasis has completely reversed. In most places, the endeavor is to dress down, not dress up. And this can become a real battle. And it kind of illustrates what I'm talking about here. New is better than old. So if the new trend is to dress casual for church, that's what we do, and that's better than this old stuffy traditionalism in the minds of many people. But then there are still some people who are holding out for the old ways, and they look down their noses at this modern trend and seem to consider inferior anybody who still is not willing to dress up for church, put on a nice Sunday dress or wear a coat and tie. And so here we are arguing over things that in both cases are external. What's that got to do with Bible doctrine? Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.